Amen. Amen. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Philippians 4 and 6. I appreciate the song they sang this morning. God has been so good to me, and He has been good to me. He opens doors for us when we don't even know that they're in front of us. Amen. And He closes doors when we know that when it's not His will. Amen. God is faithful to us. Amen. If we'll be sensitive to Him, if we'll listen to His voice, amen, God is faithful. God is always there to help us through whatever we're going through. Amen. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Amen. Let's pray and let's ask for God's help in this service this morning. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love You today. God, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the truth contained in Your Word, Lord God. We ask that You would anoint it to every heart, to every situation, and to every need here today, God. Give us ears to hear what Your Word has to say, God, and a spirit that would apply it to our lives, Lord. We'll be sure to give You the thanks and the praise that's due unto Your name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated this morning. Amen. The Apostle Paul here in the verse that we read gave a commandment that, in my opinion, is very difficult, next to impossible, I would say, to follow. He said, be careful for nothing. Amen. If you look it up in the original, that word careful means to be anxious about or to have care. It means to take thought about. It means to worry. The word nothing there means not even one, none, not at all, or nothing. Pretty profound, right? Nothing means nothing. Amen. So the apostle is telling us that we don't need to be anxious or worry or take thought about anything. Now, I know this morning that that's easier said than done. Amen. We live in a generation and in a world that is full of worry. Amen. We are a people who are full of worry because there is so much that is unknown to us. Amen. How is it even possible to not worry? How is it even possible to not be careful about things that are going on? How is it possible not to worry about situations? How is it possible for us not to worry when we don't know how everything is going to work out, how God is going to work it out, how the situation is going to turn out? Amen. We continue reading in that verse. Let's go back to where we read in Philippians 4 and 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but contrary-wise, or rather, that word but, if you look that up, it means contrary-wise, or rather, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. Did you know that nothing that is going on in your life comes as a surprise to God? Amen. Amen. God knows right where you are. God knows your circumstance and your situation. Amen. He knows what you've been through going up to this point, and He knows what you're going through right now. Amen. We know that if God knows, that we have confidence, we have hope. Amen. If we know and we believe that God knows, then why do we pray? Amen. God already knows what I'm going through. God already knows my situation. Why do I need to worry about praying? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked it this morning. Amen. You see, God has given each of us here today the power of choice. Amen. He's given us the ability to choose what we do and what we don't do. Amen. For example, we are allowed to choose if we are going to live for God. Amen. God gives us that choice. God allows us to make that decision. He doesn't force it upon us. Amen. He allows us to choose if we're going to live for God or if we're going to live for ourselves and for the world. If we're living for God, then we get the choice to listen to His voice or go our own way and do our own thing. Amen. God's not going to force you to do what He desires for you to do. That doesn't mean that He doesn't have a plan for your life. It doesn't mean that He doesn't have a desire for what your future holds. God has it orchestrated in a perfect way. Amen. But He gives us the ability to choose what we're going to do with that. He gives us the ability of whether we're going to follow that plan or whether we're going to try to go down a course on our own, a different direction. Amen. In the same way, we're given the choice of how we're going to handle situations and circumstances that come our way. God will always honor whatever choice we make. God is a perfect gentleman. He will never force his will upon any of us. Amen. If we're faced with an issue and we have a decision that we need to make, we have two choices, usually. I know that's profound, but usually we have two different ways that we could go. We can try to figure it out on our own, which a lot of times means that we're going to worry and we're going to fret. We're going to wring our hands and wonder how it's all going to turn out. What's going to be the outcome? What's God going to do? What's going to happen in this situation? And we can choose to follow after our own will in that sense. Or, on the other hand, we can give it to God. Amen. As Paul said, be careful or anxious for nothing. Amen. Knowing that God is in control of that situation. Amen. Knowing that God has that situation in the palm of his hands. As the scripture says, he is going to work out all things together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. His purpose, not our purpose, not our plan, not our direction. We can come up with these ideas in our mind of this is the way that I want to go. This is the direction that I want to go. We can come up with those thoughts in our mind, and that's good. It's good to have dreams and aspirations. Amen. But we need to check in with God sometimes. Amen. We need to stop our plans and our dreams and our thoughts and our drive, amen, if you will. And we need to look and see where God is fitting in all of this situation, in this circumstance. Amen. We need to trust and believe that God has a better plan than we do. Amen. And we need to check in with him. We need to pray. And we need to say, God, this is the direction that I want to go. God, this is the direction that I feel like I need to go. Amen. But how do you feel about it? What direction do you have for my life? Is there something that's going to bless me? Or if there's something that's going to hurt me in the future if I go in this direction? Amen. And if you do that, I'll tell you, you'll be sensitive to God. If you'll listen to his voice, amen, God will speak to you. And God, as the song says, he's going to open doors to you in whatever direction he wants you to go. Amen. Whenever I'm praying about something, whether it be a purchase or a direction I want to go, I pray, God, I want your will. But I go beyond that. I don't just say, God, I want your will and leave it surface like that. But I tell God, I say, God, if it's your will, I want you to open every door before me. Amen. But if it's not your will, God, I want you to close every single door before me. Amen. If we're looking and we're searching for the will of God and God is and we're seeking after his face, amen. If it's not the will of God, you're going to feel like it's an uphill battle. Amen. If it's not the will of God, you're going to get a check in your gut. Amen. That God has something more for you, that God has something different for you. If you're seeking after the will of God, it's gonna feel like you're fighting against everything to get to that plan or that purpose that you have in your mind. Right. Amen. But if it's the will of God, it's going to be like a downhill run. You can't even keep your feet going fast enough to keep up with it. Yeah. Amen. When God blessed me with the job that he gave to me, I called my wife immediately after, and I was praying. I was praying, God, if it's your will, open the door. Amen. And I'm not going to go into the details, but God opened not only the door that I was asking him to open, but so many other doors. I feel like God didn't just open a door wide enough for me to sneak through, but he opened the double doors wide open so that I could run through it and not even have to worry about hitting the door jam. Amen. That's how God works. Amen. If you're in the will of God, you're going to know it and other people are going to know it. Amen. If you're in the will of God, you're going to get confirmation, not only from God and how you feel, but from others around you. Amen. I'm not going to go into the details today, but I want to share this with you. I went to look at a vehicle this weekend, and I was praying for the will of God. I was praying, God, if it's your will, open the door. And we got there, and I looked at it, and I don't want to go into the details, but I had a check in my heart. I had a check in my spirit that it just there was something not right about it. Amen. And so we walked away. We drove 6 hours one way to get there, and we drove 6 hours back. And if anything, we just had some good family time and some time together. Amen. Some time in a hotel and 6 hours each way in the car with children. And it's good fun time. Amen. If you haven't done it, I encourage you to do it. Amen. But I'll tell you, when I pulled out of that car lot, that check in my gut left me. And I had a peace about me. I had a peace in my heart that I was doing the right thing, that I was doing the will of God. And I would have felt great had nothing else had happened. Amen. But I've talked to a couple people about it and told them about it. And each person I talked to gave me a confirmation that you know, God was closing that door before me. Yesterday, when I was preparing for this message, I actually got a phone call. And my boss in a secular job, and this is a man that doesn't completely know the truth, he called me and he asked me, he said, "Hey, so did you buy it?" And I said, "Well, you know, that's a funny story, but no, I didn't." And he goes, "Well, good." I said, "Okay." And he said, "Well, I'm glad that you didn't buy it." I'm like, "Okay, well, why is that?" And he said, "You know what?" He said, "Since you told me you were going down there," he said, "I had a bad feeling about it." He said, and he called me for the specific purpose to tell me that he was glad that I didn't end up buying it because he felt that it would not have been a blessing to me in my life. Amen. That's how God works. Amen. When God opens a door, you're going to know that it's God that's opened the door. Amen. And when God closes a door, you know what? You can force that door open. Amen. You can force your way through it. Amen. When God closes a door, there's an old saying that says when a door closes, another door opens, or there's a window that's open. You know what? I don't want to climb through a window to go out of the will of God. Amen. I want to go through the door that God opens. Amen. Amen. If we're faced with that decision, God gives us the choice to trust in ourselves or to trust in Him. Amen. What happens when we give it to God? When we stop worrying about how He's going to work it out, and we start trusting whatever He has for us, and whenever it's going to happen, then it's going to be right. Amen. What happens? Amen. Verse 7, if we read on there in Philippians chapter 4, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. Peace. That's what's going to happen. Amen. He gives us peace, but not just any old peace. He gives us peace that passes all understanding. Amen. That's Holy Ghost peace. Amen. The Spirit of God comforts us and gives us peace that He has got this under control. He's got this worked out. He knows what's going on, and He's going to work it out for our good. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse 5 this morning. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all," and I, you know, I looked that up a while back, that word "all," and this is another one of those profound ones, "all" there means all, everything. "With all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Amen. Trust in God with everything in your heart. Trust in God in every situation. Trust in God in every circumstance that you're going through. Amen. He's going to lead us in the right direction. Amen. He's going to work out all the details. We don't have to. Amen. We don't have to figure it all out, and we don't have to understand it all. We just have to have faith and trust in Him. Amen. Amen. No matter what you're going through or how difficult it may seem at the moment, and I'm not trying to downplay your situation. I'm not trying to downplay what you're going through and the difficulty of it. But whatever it is and whatever it may seem at the moment, God is with you. Amen. God is right there beside you. Amen. And as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, it says that He would never leave us or forsake us. Never. He's not ever going to leave you. He's not ever going to forsake you in your situation. He's not ever going to give up on you. Amen. Amen. I know what you may be thinking this morning. Well, what does that have to do with Mother's Day? That's great, Brother Reed, but what does that have to do with Mother's Day? Well, that's another great question this morning. Amen. You see, as parents, we have a tendency to be anxious. Amen. Amen. We have a tendency to worry about the children that God has given to us. Amen. We love them and we want to take care of them. Amen. And all the mothers could say amen. Amen. We want the very best for them. Amen. We want them to have a better life than we had. Amen. We want to protect them from all danger and from all harm. Amen. God has called each of you mothers here, and us dads as well, will keep us on the down low today, but He's called us to do some training and some teaching in the lives of our children. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Amen. Our children are going to come to a place in their life where they have to make a choice to live for God for themselves, not just because mom or dad tell them to. Amen. But if we teach them the ways of God, if they see God work in our lives, if they see, and we my wife and I talked about this in the situation with the car, our children, it was a good teachable moment because they were able to see us leaning upon God and looking to Him for direction. Amen. Your children see what's going on in your life. They're watching you, parents, to see how you're going to work it out. They're going to watch you to see if you're praying about it. They're going to watch you to see if you're seeking God for an answer. Amen. And whenever God gives an answer, they're going to see that as well. So that whenever there comes a situation in their life that they're going through, that they're looking for an answer, they're going to do what their example did. They're going to pray. And they're going to seek after God. And they're going to see what God would have for them to do if God's going to open a door to them. Amen. Train up a child in the way that they should go. How do we do that? We do that by example. We do that by the way that we live, the life that we live in front of them. Amen. And it says that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Amen. The upbringing that you have, no matter whether you were raised in the church or not, the upbringing that you have shapes you into the person that you are. Amen. I am who I am because of my mom and because of a lesser value of my dad. I am who I am because of the influence that I had in my life and my grandparents and the people, my family members and those that were around me. I would see things that they did and I would emulate those same things. Amen. I would do the same things because that was my normal. That was what God had established as normal in my life. Amen. And so we go in the way that our parents go. If our parents are going to live for God, not just when they come to church, but when they're at home, amen, when they're sitting around the kitchen table, when they're going through the course of the day, they're a Christian at home as well, amen, your kids are going to see that, amen. The life that you live in the church and when you come to church is nothing in comparison to what you live outside of the church. Amen. That is so much more of a testimony to your children. Amen. Pastor said it for years that you are a better preacher to your children than he is because you're around them more and they see what you're doing. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, another verse that goes along with parenting. It says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Amen. If our children are left to just do whatever they want to do, amen, they're going to bring us to shame. They're going to bring mothers and fathers to shame. But when God blessed you with a child, He entrusted that you would raise up that child to the very best of your ability. Amen. As parents, we pour our lives into our children, don't we? Amen. We teach them right from wrong. We establish rules and we establish consequences, not because we want to punish them, but rather because we love them. And because we desire the very best for them. Amen? We want them to be more blessed than we were growing up. Amen? We want them to have a better life than we did growing up. And we may have had a great life. I'm not downplaying that. But we want to keep going up. Amen? We want our children to go further than we did. Sometimes that means that we have to use the rod for discipline. Amen? And the young people said amen. Amen. Sometimes we have to reprove them. And we have to correct them. Sometimes we have to make minor course adjustments. Sometimes we have to make major course adjustments in their lives. Amen. That's what parenting is. We do it all because, like I said, we love our children. Amen. We love them. God gave them to us. Amen. We love them with everything that is within us. Kids, young people that are out here this morning, listen to Brother Reed as I tell you this. Don't ever get the idea that your parents don't love you or care for you because they correct you. Amen. Amen. They love you more because they correct you. Amen. If there was a busy street and your parents didn't tell you to not play in the street, they wouldn't love you because they wouldn't care what happened to you. But because they love you, they put boundaries and they say, you cannot go past the end of this sidewalk. Amen. And if you're like Brennan, he'll stick his little toe over the edge of the sidewalk just to see what you're going to do about it. Amen. And that's where the rod comes in. I hate to say it. We don't do it, and we don't do it when they're little bitty and when they don't understand. But when they get to the point where they understand, there has to be consequences, and we have to have a backbone, and we have to stand for what we believe. They have to see, is mom and dad really serious about what they're saying? Amen. We do that because we love them. Amen. Because we want the best for our children, because we want them to know that we care for them, and we see from a better vantage point than maybe you young people see from right now, and the younger children see from. Amen. Do you know how they handled children in the Old Testament? Not the same as we do today. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 18. This is the law. Amen. It says, if a man have a stubborn or rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey to our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Amen. Pretty harsh, huh? Amen. Amen. They didn't mess around in the Old Testament. Amen. They didn't have things written on the table of their heart. They had it written upon stone. And there was consequences to the law. Amen. Aren't you glad that we don't handle it that way anymore? Amen. Amen. I know these young people are. Amen. I bet if we did handle it that way, that we would see a huge change in how this younger generation acted and how they treated their parents. Amen. Just because we don't take a child out and stone them doesn't downplay that it's still important to God for us to obey the voice of our father and the voice of our mother. Amen. There are commandments that are given, even in the Old Testament, that are given to our children, and they still apply to us today. Amen. I'm going to help you parents out here a little bit this morning. Amen. You can listen in, but this is for the young people. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16 says, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that you're going to live a longer life, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. It's not just, you know, you can't just listen to your mom and not your dad, or your dad and not your mom, but both of them are your parents. And God gave them both to you, or gave you to them, I should say, to give you direction. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Not chains like bondage chains, like being drug along chains, but chains of gold, chains of riches. Amen. Chains of blessings. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20 starts very similar to the last verse we read. It says, my son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. Amen. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Amen. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Amen. So many children today think that their parents are trying to stifle them and trying to hold them down. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. Your parents are trying to help you to be blessed more. Amen. You just may not see it right now. Amen. Proverbs 10 and verse 1, another verse. It says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Amen. Amen. The dad gets the good side, the mom gets the bad side. Amen. Proverbs 19:26, it says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Amen. If you don't listen to your parents and you drive them away, you're going to bring them to shame and reproach. And if that's what you want to do, that's a choice that you get to make. Amen. But that's not the will of God. Amen. Proverbs 23 and 22 says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Amen. I will tell you this from experience. As you get older, your parents, it's crazy, they get a lot smarter. Amen. When you're a teenager, Your parents don't know anything, or so you think. And you think you've got it figured out, and you give them direction whenever you're a teenager. Amen. Your mom, dad, you don't know. You don't understand the times. You don't understand. Amen. But as you get older, and you get a house of your own, and you get a family of your own, you're like, man, they knew a lot. They were pretty smart. They had a lot figured out. Amen. And you young people may not be there yet, but listen to me and put this in the back of your mind. And in a few years, maybe several years for some of you, when you get married and whenever God blesses you with a family, you're going to think back to this and you're going to say, Brother Reed told me that I would think my parents were pretty smart. And you know what? He was right. Amen. Amen. Let's turn this morning to 2 Kings chapter number 4. I want to look at a good example of this. 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8, it says, And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, and where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. They prepared a place for this man of God. And it fell on a day that he came hither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us. There's that word careful again. With all this care, what is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. She said, I'm not interested in that. I'm happy right here where I'm at. Amen. And he said, Then what is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, amen, thou shalt embrace a son. Amen. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. Amen. God gave her a son. Amen. God gave her a child to bring up. Amen. God gave this sweet Shunammite woman a child. The Bible doesn't say, but we can probably assume that with the care that this woman had shown to Elijah, that she extended the same amount of carefulness to the upbringing of her son. Amen. If she took care of a total stranger and she made a place for them to lodge and to eat and she took care of them, amen, she must have been a good cook because Elijah kept coming back. Amen. But if she took that care in taking care of the prophet, she obviously would have taken the care in taking the care of her son. Amen. And you know what? It's easy when they're small. Amen. We can be there for them all the time. Amen. We can never let them out of our sight. We can hold them all. Well, I wouldn't recommend holding them all day, but we can hold them all day. You'll spoil them. But we can watch over them and we can protect them. Amen. There are going to come a day, however, when we grow up, or when they grow up, I should say, when we aren't going to be able to be there for them every moment of their life, when we're not going to be able to be there every moment of the day. Amen. Amen. We're not going to be able to be there to pick them up when they fall down, but they're going to have to get back up on their own. They're going to have to pick themselves up by their own strength. Amen. Let's read on a little bit. Verse 18 says, And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out with his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. Amen. I thought of my children whenever he said that. My head, I did something. You know, whenever your kids are little and they get hurt, they come running. Amen. Because they've gotten hurt and they want you to make it better. Amen. Amen. But he wasn't with his mom, he was with his dad. And he said unto the lad, Carry him to his mother. Amen. I want to stop there for just a moment. Doesn't that sound like us guys? Amen. Maybe not all of us, but it sounds like me. I say, amen. My wife sends me with the boys, and we go to work, and they get hurt. Amen. And we just send them back to their mom. Amen. Amen. He's bleeding. Can you take care of that? I've got work to do over here. Amen. And so this man, and his obviously his situation was a little more severe, but his father sent him back to his mother. Amen. Verse 20 says, and when she had taken him, when he had taken him, this is the servant, had brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon, and then he died. Amen. The mother cared for him, and I'm sure she did everything she could. She bandaged the wound and took care of him and prayed for him, no doubt. But the baby died, or the child, I should say, died. I don't know how old he was. The Bible doesn't tell us. Amen. I would like to believe that he wasn't as old or as tall as some of these kids on the young people on the front row here this morning. Amen. I don't know that you guys would fit on your mother's knees this morning. Amen. Not without breaking them. Amen. But he came and he sat upon her knees until noon, and then he died. Amen. What a roller coaster. Amen. This woman that couldn't have any children, she finally does have children. Amen. And then the child gets hurt. Amen. I let him go with his dad one time and he got hurt. And then he dies. Amen. Maybe some of us have had hard times in our lives like this. Maybe not to this extent. Maybe we have. Everything's going great. Amen. And then the bottom falls out beneath us. Amen. It seems as if the blessings of God are overpowering us that we can't even take it all. Amen. But then something happens and it's like we forget completely about everything that has happened up to that point because of the situation that we are now in. Amen. The woman here could have gotten upset. Amen. She could have lost all hope. Amen. And it would have been very easy to do. She could have blamed God and looked and said, you know, God, what did you do? Why did you do this to me? But let's take a look at what she did here this morning. And I think we can learn from this. 2 Kings 4 and 21, it says, and she went up, and she laid him on the bed of the man of God, and she shut the door upon him and went out. Amen. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And us guys, we don't get it. He says, the man, her husband says, wherefore, why are you going to go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said unto him, it shall be well. Amen. Maybe he didn't even know that the child was dead. I don't know. I would like to believe that this child's father cared enough about him that he wouldn't try to discourage her from going to the man of God. Maybe he didn't even know that the child had died. Amen. But she tells him, and I just have to believe that by this point, all the tears had been dried up in her eyes, and that she had a strength about her, that she had a resolve about her, that she had a plan. She knew what she needed to do. Amen. And she says, it is well. Amen. It shall be well. What faith? It shall be well. She's saying, I'm not going to be anxious and I'm not going to worry, but it's going to be all right. Amen. If God gave me this child, then God is able to help me with this situation. Amen. Verse 24 says, then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. She said, go as fast as you can and don't slow down unless I tell you to. And so she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered to him, it is well. Wow. She had faith, didn't she? Amen. She had faith. She didn't know how it was going to work out. She didn't know what God was going to do or what the man of God was going to do. Amen. She had never heard, no doubt, of people being raised from the dead. Amen. To have that kind of faith. Amen. To believe no matter how God works it out, it's going to be in the will of God. Even if God would not have done anything in this situation, she still had faith in God. She understood that everything that happened was in God's hands. Amen. And she had faith in that. She had resolve. Amen. Verse 27 says, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. The man of God said, let her alone. Leave her alone. For her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me. He hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? You can see the emotions rising up in her. And then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take thy staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any man salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. Amen. The man of God had a plan. Amen. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Talking to Elisha. She said, I'm staying right with you. I know that you're a man of God. I know that you have the word of God. Amen. I'm not going anywhere, but I'm staying by you. Amen. I'm staying by your word. Amen. If you're going through something, let me tell you this morning that God can give you a word, and oftentimes it will come across the pulpit. God will give you a direction. It can happen while you're reading your Bible. It can happen while you're praying, and I'm not downplaying that, but there are time after time in my living for God that God has given me a direction coming across the pulpit through the man of God. And this woman says, as the Lord lives and as you live, I'm not leaving you. And he arose and he followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore, he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. Amen. It's no good. There's no hope. Amen. Then Elijah has come in the house. Behold, the child was dead, and he laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Amen. Says, then he returned and walked in the house to and fro. Amen. He walked back and forth. Amen. It doesn't say, amen, specifically, but I believe that he was praying and he was talking to God. And he was letting faith rise up in that house. Amen. Amen. He was letting faith rise up in that house. Amen. And he walked to and fro in the house and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Praise God. God's a healer. Amen. God is a resurrector. Praise God of those that are dead. And when he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite, so he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Hey, look who's here. Here's your child. They went in. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Amen. You know, this story could have gone a lot of different directions. Amen. The prophet could have come and done all of this and the child did not awake. Amen. There are times that God works out situations in a different way than what we would anticipate or we would desire. Amen. We can pray that God would raise someone from the dead or that God would heal someone's body. We can pray that God would give us the desires of our heart just because we want them, amen, not because it's God's will for us. Amen. It could have worked out differently. But in this instance, obviously it didn't. It worked out for the good. It worked out a lot better than it could have. Amen. And you know what? God works out those things in our lives. Amen. God works out situations even if they may seem hopeless. Amen. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? Amen. Whether it's raising children or whether it's just living, amen, there are going to come days when we just have to step back and we just have to throw up our hands and surrender. And we just have to say, God, you're in control. Amen. That's not easy to do, is it? Amen. It's not easy when we think that we know the best course of action. It's not easy when we think that we know the best way to work it out. It's not easy when we believe that we have all understanding and knowledge in that area. And we don't need to rely upon God. But there comes a day when we hit rock bottom, when we get to the place where we don't have any more hope, we don't have any other place to go, and we come to the place where we say, God, you're in control. God, you know what's going on. God, you know my need. God, you know what I have need of. You know everything that's going on in my life. You know everything that got me to this situation. God, and you know the future. You've got everything in your control. You've got everything in the palm of your hand. And you're able to keep us and to protect us. You're able to keep our children and to protect them. Moms and dads, there's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to watch over them every hour of the day. Amen. And you're just going to have to give them back to God. And you're just going to have to trust that God can take better care of them than we can. Men, does that mean they're not going to fall? No, they're going to fall. They're going to skin up their knee. They're going to get hurt. Amen. They're going to go through things in life that are going to be difficult, maybe even more difficult than the things that you've gone through in your life. Amen. But if you've taught them and you've trained them the way that they should go, they're going to know how to deal with it. They're going to know how to handle it. They're going to know who they need to go to get through that situation. Amen. I'm going to say it again this morning. Nothing surprises God. Nothing. Nothing. God sees every one of you here this morning, every one of you mothers, every one of you dads, every one of you children. Nothing surprises God. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever difficulties, and maybe you're living high on the mountain right now, amen. And I'm happy for you. And I pray that you stay up there. Amen. But if you find yourself skidding down that mountain and find yourself in a valley before too long, amen. He's the God of the mountain and he's the God of the valley. Amen. God sees you and what you're going through. He sees your worry and your stress, and he's just waiting. He's just waiting for you to give it to him. Amen. I want to encourage someone this morning, be careful for nothing. Amen. Maybe you're trying to figure something out for your future. Just be careful for nothing. Let God figure it out. Maybe you're trying to fight your way out of a valley right now in your life. Be careful for nothing. Amen. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. But instead, pray. Pray that God will give you that peace that passes all understanding. Pray that God will give you direction. Pray that God will work out your situation. Amen. So much better than you and I are able to do by ourselves. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Why don't we stand together this morning? Amen. Why don't we just take a moment, if we could this morning? I know we've got time. Amen. Why don't we just take a moment? And if there's something that's going on in your life, and you don't even have to speak it out so that everybody can hear, God knows what you're going through, but just give it to God right now. Amen. Give it to God right now. Whatever you're going through, whatever your situation, whatever your difficulty, whatever direction you're searching for in your life, why don't you just give it to God right now? God, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to fret about it, God, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to believe, God, that you're going to work it out so much better than I'm able to. Amen. Let's lift our voices right now. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're faithful to us. God, you're worthy today, God, of all the praise, Lord. Do your work in this house, Lord. Do your work in every situation, God, and in every need. Let this word speak to every heart today, God. Let it minister to us and give us direction today, God, as only you are able. We lean upon you today. We trust in you today, God. You're good to us. You're faithful to us, God. Oh, we lean heavily upon you, God. Not upon our own understanding, Lord. Oh, but we lean on your understanding, God. We lean upon your promises and your word today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, if we'll just give it to Him, amen, there's going to be faith that rises in us. There's going to be a peace that rises in us, amen. God is able to get us through it. God is able to help us all the way, amen, and to give us the strength to make it all the way to the end, amen. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's sing unto the Lord today.